time for Lombardi Memory. So it takes you back in time. It is January or February, the greatest one-day spectacle in all of sports. We have finished reviewing the first 50 Super Bowls. If you want to relive those games, I suggest to you some homework. A book by Ed Benkin called The First 50 Super Bowls. It's from McFarland Publishing, and there's some great stuff there that you'll want to relive over and over. Great book. But for now, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to take a moment in Super Bowl history and expound on it. I'm going to go through a drive or a quarter or something I can break up into little pieces and we can examine it closely. That means these episodes are going to be pretty short, but that's okay. So, today we are going back and looking at the final minutes of Super Bowl 10 between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Dallas Cowboys. We begin with Dallas having scored a touchdown to cut their deficit to 21-17, and they are kicking off. The Cowboys have Tony Fritz kicking it. He kicks to his left. It's an onside kick. Guard Jerry Mullins of the Steelers falls on it at the Dallas 42. Surprising that the Steelers had a guard on their good hands team, but hey, worked out. Now, keep in mind Terry Bradshaw has been knocked out of this game with a concussion. So now Terry Hanratty has stepped in his place. Chuck Knoll obviously does not trust Hanratty as far as he can throw him because he will not let Hanratty throw the ball. So the Cowboys, they've got all three timeouts left, so simply running the ball is not going to kill the clock. Franco Harris takes the first carry. He loses 2 yards. Dallas calls their first timeout with 1:41 left. Hanratty then tries the hard count, trying to get him to jump offside. They don't. And he hands off to Harris for another. This time he got the 2 yards back that he just lost. So Tom Landry calls his second timeout, 1:33 left. Now here's where it gets tricky. All the Steelers need here is a first down. It's 3rd and 10. A first down here wins the game automatically because all the Steelers would have to do then is just fall on the ball 3 times. But Chuck Knoll has no trust in Hanratty, so he calls a run instead of a pass that could win it. This time it's Rocky Byer running up the gut for a yard. And the Cowboys call their final timeout with 1:28 to go. Now remember, the Steelers could have won the game with a 3rd down conversion. They could also win the game with a 4th down conversion. But there's 1:28 left, and it's 4th and 9. You could conceivably go for it here. You could punt. Pat Summerall and Tom Brooks here were CBS's announcers for Super Bowl X. This was Pat Summerall's first Super Bowl as the play-by-play guy. He did color commentary for a couple, 3 or 4 of them before this game. But they prepared for a punt. They thought it was a punt. So Brooks here's talking about the Cowboys coming all out at the punt. And he says they'll probably have everybody but the coaches going after this kick. But then they were shocked because they saw that Chuck Knoll just sent back out his offense. So it's 4th and 9. Now you can win the game again if you get the first down here. But punting would put the Cowboys into a more difficult situation. They'd have to go probably 80 yards rather than having to go 60 yards. Now, 20 yards can be a big difference, as we'll see here later. But Chuck Knoll doesn't want that punt to be blocked. And they've had a bunch of special teams issues in this game. And he's worried that the punt's going to get blocked, return for a touchdown, they lose. But I think the chances of the pumping block are not as high as the Dallas Cowboys going 60 yards in 80 seconds, because that's what they have. They have 80 seconds left if the Steelers throw incomplete and they have to go 61 yards to win the game instead of maybe 80, or possibly even better if they're able to coffin corner the punt. So he's not going to punt, though. He's going to go for it. But here's the problem. If he's going to go for it, why not try a pass? Everyone here, everyone except for Steelers announcer Jack Fleming knows the clock stops after change of possession. Okay, so whether you run or pass, you either win the game by getting the first down, or you lose possession, the clock stops either way, regardless of whether it was a run or a pass. So it's not like the Steelers can run the ball on fourth down, and then, which it was an archaic rule, it used to be the rule, that the other team would have to hurry their offense out onto the field because the clock would still be running. But that is not the case in 1975. So Chuck Noll can have try a pass with Hanratty, but he doesn't trust him either. And he decides he's just going to call a simple running play. Rocky Blyer gets the ball, not Franco Harris, their best running back, the MVP of Super Bowl IX, the last Super Bowl, in fact, where he set all kinds of records. But instead, he has Rocky Blyer run it. He goes for 2 yards, and that's it. That's one we got to ask Chuck Noll about, Summerall says. And he's right. I mean, why would you just call a simple little, I wouldn't call it a dive play, but it was not a very fancy running play. And now there's 1:22 left on the clock. So Dallas has quite a bit of time to work with and great field position at their own 39. They've got to go 61 yards in 1:22. So about 60 and 80 seconds, as I was talking about earlier. And Summerall says, got to work the sidelines. But now it's the Cowboys making the bad decisions instead of the Steelers. Okay, so Roger Staubach gets a low snap from the shotgun formation, which came, the bad snap came because the shotgun formation was pretty new at the time and not practiced well enough. So he was getting low snaps. He picks up this low snap and scrambles with it. So the low snap actually helps him because he gets a first down, has the opportunity to step out of bounds and stop the clock at 1:10, but instead he fights for a little extra yardage, goes down, and he gets the first down, but another 20 seconds come off the clock. Now, part of that wasn't all just because he didn't get out of bounds. I mean, the Cowboys showed no a sense of urgency after that play. They just kind of and moseyed around, acted like it was any other play. And so it takes another 20 seconds to get their playoff. So Staubach lost that 20 seconds because he didn't step out of bounds when he clearly could have. Could have easily stepped out. But it gets worse. After another low snap, Staubach throws to former Steeler Preston Pearson, who's now a Cowboy. He catches the ball and pivots. Okay, he's got the ball and he pivots, but instead of pivoting towards the sideline, he goes away from the sideline. Now, he gets to the Steelers 38 for a first down, but he could have stopped the clock with 40 seconds left. Instead, since he's in bounds and the Cowboys are moseying around, takes another full 20 seconds to get the next playoff. So since they've got such little time left, Staubach has no choice but to throw it to the end zone. He got a third low snap and almost got sacked to end the game because now there's less than 20 seconds left, but he evaded tacklers, managed to launch the ball to the end zone where it fell incomplete. So now you got the next play with 12 seconds left. All he's got now is he's got to go Hail Mary. He throws to the right corner of the end zone. Percy Howard just can't quite get it, gets batted away. Now there's 3 seconds to go. Staubach has this pass tipped, intercepted by Glenn Edwards. For some bizarre reason, he ran the ball back about 40 yards before going down. The clock had already expired. It didn't make any sense. But it didn't matter. The Steelers win Super Bowl X, 21-17. So, looking back at this, it's clear that Chuck Knoll screwed up. But the Cowboys screwed up even worse. Had the Cowboys known basic clock management, they would have had plenty of time at the end. Staubach wouldn't have to be trying Hail Marys from the 38-yard line. Likely, the Cowboys would have gotten down farther for a good shot at the end zone. Staubach and Pearson, if they just step out of bounds like they should have, there's an extra 40 seconds on the clock. That's massive. That's game-changing. 40 more seconds in that scenario. 40 seconds. Now, it didn't help that the Cowboys moseyed around before getting the next snap off. So, yeah, it was Staubach's fault. It was Pearson's fault. And it was the Cowboys in general their fault. Yes, Chuck Knoll was wrong. He should have either punted or at the very least tried to pass. Because the chances, I mean, if the Cowboys go down and score there, that's one of the biggest blown, it would have gone down as worse than Pete Carroll in Super Bowl 49. It just would have been awful for Steelers fans. I'm not a fan of either of these teams, so. But the Cowboys blew this one. They did not know how to do a late-game clock situation. So if Staubach had that 40 more seconds where he gets out of bounds, Pearson gets out of bounds, I bet NFL history is different today. The Cowboys are the ones with 6 Super Bowl wins. The Cowboys are the team of the 70s. And the Cowboys have the largest comeback in the first 50 years of Super Bowl history with an 11-point comeback. Just step out of bounds, guys. So that's all I've got here today. I'll have more episodes like this one coming up, and hopefully I'll be able to interview some people on their Super Bowl memories. If you're interested in talking to me about your Super Bowl memories, email me at PackersFootball3@yahoo.com. All I ask is that you pick only one Super Bowl to go over. If you have a few, that's fine, but ultimately, you don't have to have just one, but if you have one that you'd rather talk over, that would be better, because I'm not going to do 3 interviews. I'm only going to do 1 per person. So, but yeah, if you're interested in coming on the podcast, talking about a Super Bowl of your choice, email me PackersFootball3@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. And until next time, so long.